This is the Doug Marrone Show.
The Doug Marrone Show.
Former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman and J.P. Shadrick discuss the latest Jaguars news with the head coach. The Doug Marrone Show starts right now.
Welcome in, J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, and head coach Doug Marrone. Week 5, the Jags are headed to Pittsburgh to face the Steelers at Heinz Field. 2-2 record for the Jags, 3-1 for the Steelers. What's up, coach? How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Here we go. The buzzword this week is consistency. Trying to find it. We've heard it all week long. We've asked in the locker room what consistency for a football team looks like. We'll ask the head coach, what does consistency for a football team look like?
I think you know what happens is that, you know, when we talk on the radio, you talk to the newspaper or the fans, you know, when you see them, you know, obviously they're looking at Sunday, you know, obviously being consistent. And that's what you get judged by. But I think more importantly, what we try to talk to our players about is the consistency during the week. Not only, you know, the way you practice, but the way you approach the game, you know, everything that you're doing on the outside. You know, and having that schedule for yourself. So this way, when you get there on Sunday, you know, you have an opportunity to perform at the highest level. And, you know, we haven't done that week in and week out.
And consistency also means week to week. You know, you have a tough loss against the Jets where, you know, you had opportunities to win that game. And you got to get over it. You got to get past it and move on to the next game. And sometimes that's not easy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't want to take anything away from players. I think players can, you know, they do a better job than we do as coaches. My experience, you know, it's, I mean, you know, I have to do a good job in front of the team, obviously, when we're here and we're getting ready for Pittsburgh. But, you know, I'm not, it's hard. It is, you know, when you let a game get away and you do that, it's, you know, I don't want to say anything bad. I mean, it pisses you off. Can I say that on radio?
Yeah,
I mean,
you can say that.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it does, and you know, and you know, as a team, you let one get away, and you know it's gonna, you know, bite you in the butt later on, and you know you're gonna look back, and you know, but there is a point where you got to move on, and now we've got a challenge on the road, and you got to go steal one on the road.
Yeah. One final thought about the last game before we move on here. When you're watching on Sunday night and Monday the film of the game,
killing me.
It's a handful of what ifs, right? I mean, there's 5 to 10 what ifs. If one thing happens, the rest of them might not happen.
You just die 1,000 deaths.
Yeah.
I mean, you watch a game probably as a coach, you know, at least, you know, 2 to 3 times, and the score never changes, and it just gets worse and worse when you look at it, because, you know, you just keep finding those opportunities. And you know, and that's what this game is about. It's about, you know, creating an opportunity for yourself and taking advantage of it. And that's what you want to be known for as a team. You don't want to be known for as a team that, you know, gets himself back in or whatever it may be, but not being able to finish. And you don't want that as an individual player, and you don't want that as a team. You want to have, you know, the label of, hey, when the game's on the line, hey, we're going to make the plays. We're going to do those things. And I think that's what it's about. I think I don't really tend to buy into, you know, learning how to win at this level. These guys, they've won somewhere in their life, you know, and everyone knows what they need to do, and you need to step up and make a play. And it comes back to us too now. I'm not just saying the players. As coaches, you know, we've got to do a better job and be able to put them into situations to create sometimes that play.
There was after, you know, when the initial game is over with and you kind of digest, boy, you say you missed opportunities. And sometimes, like you're saying, it's hard to swallow. It's hard to take. But I remember watching the game film afterwards, and there were two plays that I thought, well, you know, if the game goes in the right direction and you win, these plays could have been hero moments. And I'm referring to Dante Fowler. You know, 20 seconds left. And you get a sack strip to where you could have recovered the ball at the 30-yard line. And then you even go back to overtime, and he makes a tackle on a 3rd and 18. If he doesn't make that play, then all of a sudden, you know, the drive is still alive for the New York Jets. And sometimes it's hard to see those type of plays when you're just seeing the loss. But, I mean, those are two outstanding plays by young players.
No, I agree with you. I think you're able to see those plays. And I think that you know, those plays are obviously recognized, and, you know, but you have to recognize, you know, a lot of times, you know, my philosophy has always been there's always 6 plays in a game, you know, that really, you know, you can look at and say, hey, you know what, that contributed to the outcome, whether you win or lose. And You know, I think that, you know, you go that and you kind of, you know, you focus on that. But, you know, there's a point of saying, okay, listen, this is a great job. This was a great effort. This was outstanding. This is now we need it again. We don't want it to be a one-time thing. You know, we don't want to be known for a team of, you know, being great one time or playing one great game. You know, we want to be a team that consistently, you know, can play, you know, outstanding football throughout the whole year.
It's early in the season, four games in, going into game five here. This is a football team working on some things, trying to figure some things out. But that's every team in the league this time of year pretty much, right? Because you don't really find your stride. A lot of teams don't find their stride, especially this season in the league, until 8, 9, 10 weeks into the year when you really find out what you are. Or do you believe in that?
Well, I think that, you know, when you're together and you're around for a long period of time and you're around the players and you know what you want to be, you tend to be able to work on that a little bit sooner. I think, you know, when you come in and it's kind of new and there's a new wave of players coming in, you know, you're trying to work out the communication, trying to see your strengths and weaknesses and, you know, how does the team in all three phases, what's the best way for us to play? I do think that, you know, now you know that going into the season, you're going to be defined because everyone, I get this question all the time, you know, what type of team you want to be, what type of team you want to be. You know, talk is cheap. You're going to have to play on Sunday, and you're going to be labeled by how you perform in each Sunday, and that's the team that you're going to be. And at the end of the day, you just want to make sure that, everyone understands what we have to do and has to be a consistent, you know, performance, you know, on Sunday. And it's very simple. You know, you have to win. And I think this time of year or during the season, what you're managing is, hey, somebody's down. Who's going to take up the slack? You know, kind of like for us, it was, hey, listen, A-Rob gets hurt first game of the year. You know, there was a lot on the table, a lot of things we worked for, you know, or did prior to that, you know, for A-Rob, things that we wanted to do. Now all of a sudden, okay, he's not there. Well, you better be able to react, because the one thing about the NFL is no one really ever feels sorry for you, and Jeff knows that. And, you know, you've got to be able to pick up the slack, and that's one of the things that we're trying to get accomplished.
You're specifically talking about that wide receiver group. You had made mention earlier in the week that, you know, hey, look, we may need to look at doing different things with that wide receiver group. Does that mean looking at different guys, different type of rotation? I know Marquise has been on the injury report, so it's only Thursday. There's a question mark there. But when you talk about doing things differently, that includes looking at different guys' playing time, doesn't it?
Well, there's no doubt. It's like, you know, I think everyone would know, it's, you know, and hey, if it's third down, you know, prior to the year, where do we want to throw the ball? And, you know, you know that A-Rob is going to be a big part of that. You know, he goes down, okay, who's the next guy? You know, and then now all of a sudden it's, you know, okay, where can we distribute this ball, knowing that, hey, listen, at any time a team can take somebody out of that. You know, obviously we're smart enough to know that. So we've got to be able to go. So, you know, the distribution has been, you know, spread out. And now it's a matter of, hey, listen, you know, when we have the opportunity, who's going to make that play?
And Keelan Cole is a guy, you know, undrafted rookie, had very good training camp. Where is he at?
Well, you know, I mean, he needs to step up. I understand people always say, listen, you know, you come in this league and, you know, you're a rookie and, you know, you hit this wall and blah, blah, blah. But you're a pro. You got to go play. I think that, you know, we're counting on him and keep pushing him to make those plays that he made before. And he has the ability to do that. I think that when you look at guys like, you know, with Leonard and Cam, you know, two other rookies that are playing, you know, and I get this question a lot about Leonard is, you know, hey, can he carry it 35 times? Can he carry it? I don't know. All I know is that everything we've asked him to do, he's been able to do, you know. So you don't see that, you know what I'm saying, in those two players and what they're doing. And the job that Cam Robinson's doing is really outstanding. Now, he needs to keep doing that consistently. And, you know, we're very happy with the performance of Cam at left tackle.
Love watching him play. Not only do I like watching him play against good football players, but I love his attitude. I love the fact that, you know, if one of his guys is down or somebody's laying on top of him too long, he's there and he's saying, get off my guy.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, being an ex-offensive line coach and a lineman, you know, someone that's going to go out and protect those players. And I just, you know, it's tough for me because I get it and I understand it. And I'm always like, you know, if you draw a penalty, I'm going to kill you. You know what I'm saying? When you come off the sideline.
But he's smart about it.
You know, but then all of a sudden he's like, coach, I'm good. I'm in control. I'm like, well, it didn't seem like you were in control, you know. So, you know, but that's part of the team. That's part of what you want in a team, that, you know, people that take a lot of pride, people that care about each other, that protect each other. And I think, you know, the more we can get of that, I think that the better it will be, as long as it doesn't hurt us, you know, with the yellow flags.
All right, Coach, we'll come back and break down the Steelers' playmakers on offense. A lot to cover.
A lot to cover.
On the defensive side this week, this is the Doug Marrone Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Doug Marrone Show continues right now.
We continue with the head coach, Doug Marrone, J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman. The Jags and the Steelers coming up Sunday at Heinz Field in Pittsburgh. And when you play the Steelers, you play a lot of playmakers on offense. Looking through the stat sheet here, Coach. Le'Veon Bell had a big game last week. Antonio Brown's on the team. Yeah, he's only had one touchdown. Still a weapon. Roethlisberger's been there for a long time. That's only three of them. They're getting the ball around a lot on offense. They've got guys all over the field on the offensive side.
They do. I mean, they have a lot of weapons. I think that, you know, you go into the game and you say, okay, listen, what do we want to do? We want to stop, obviously, you know, Bell, and that's just normal. It's not a big game plan secret, you know. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, wait a minute, now we stopped him, and yet now we got, you know, Antonio Brown, we got Bryant, we got Juju Schuster, we got Jesse James, we got Vance McDonald, and we still got Bell coming out of the backfield as a receiver. So, you know, they do have a lot of weapons, and Ben's been around, you know. I remember playing against him his rookie year. I mean, he was rookie of the year. They went 15-1. It was 2004. And, you know, he has the ability to extend the plays and make all the throws. And, again, you know, it's going to be a great challenge for our guys. Our guys have been real in tune all week. And we know we're going on the road. We know the atmosphere is very difficult. I think that we have a couple of players that have been up there. But we're excited for this challenge and excited to, you know, redeem ourselves after last week.
Boy, Le'Veon Bell is really a unique player in that I think he's like the fastest player to 4,000 yards rushing and a couple thousand receiving. I mean, he's truly an all-purpose back that can do everything first, second, and third down. It makes him special.
It does. I mean, he's a three-down back, and, you know, I would be remiss if I didn't mention, you know, the job that they do up front. I mean, I don't really care what type of back you are. If you don't have, you know, the people up front that are doing that job day in and day out for all their playmakers, you're not going to be able to get that done. And, you know, Pouncey at center is an outstanding player. DeCastro is the guard. He's been outstanding. You know, Raymond Foster is, you know, another one from Tennessee, and the two tackles, you know, they've been, you know, the right tackle's been hurt a little bit. We don't know if he'll be back, but, you know, Mike Munchak's obviously the offensive line coach. I've known Munch for a long period of time, and he does an outstanding job. So, you know, from an offensive standpoint, this is probably the most overall, probably the most talented offense that you'll see around the league, you know, when you go from position to position.
And when you think about the Steelers, you think about big physical offense, but which they are. I mean, when they've got Bell, you know, running the ball, but they play a lot of three wide receiver sets. And the guy that you had mentioned earlier, Juju Smith-Schuster, who was their second round draft pick out of SC, he doesn't look like he's a rookie when you watch him on the field. A guy who's catching balls, playing with a lot of confidence.
No, and I think a lot of people around, you know, outside the fans and stuff, probably wouldn't know, but, you know, Richard Mann is the wide receiver coach, is probably one of the best wide receiver coaches. He coached, you know, he coached Keenan.
He's been around
a long time. And, you know, you talk about someone that can get someone ready to play and go in there and play. And, you know, he's been going in there and you know, from, you know, the run standpoint, goes in there and blocks, reminds you a lot about how Hines Ward was when he played there. You know, he'll knock the hell out of linebackers. They all will. They all go in there. And, you know, he's playing more and more for it. So, you know, he's a player that's stepping up for him. You know, he's back there on kickoff returns. Antonio Brown's back there on punt returns. But, I mean, you know, every time you look on the field, you know, they have playmakers out there. And, you know, and they've been successful. They're a good organization. But to answer your question, you know, that's what makes them dangerous. They can play, you know, big man football, you know, loaded up, two tight ends, two running backs, and pound you. They can spread it out and throw it, or they can spread it out and knock the hell out of you there too. So, you know, like I said before, that's a great challenge for us, and, you know, we're excited about it.
Roethlisberger, you said you faced him in his rookie season. He's still at it. Is he – he's been around for such a long time in this league. He's a big guy. He's tough to take down, first of all. If you finally get back there to him, it's tough to get him down.
It is. I mean, he's you know, you see it on film. I mean, people just kind of bounce off him. You're not going to be able to get him with one hand. I mean, you got to tackle him like you're tackling a running back. And the one thing about him is he's always done a great job of keeping his eyes down the field with vision. And, you know, when he bounces off and extend and to me, if someone goes and hits him and he's able to bounce off, to me, I look at that as an extended play. Even though he may not be out of the pocket, it's still extended to me. And that's when it's very dangerous because, you know, now all of a sudden the timing and you're talking about playmakers with great speed. Now they can get behind coverage, get behind players. So, again, it's very dangerous, and he's been an excellent player for a long period of time.
Antonio Brown, the wide receiver, one of the most competitive guys I've watched on film. Every play he competes in and out. And watching last week's game against the Ravens, Ben missed him on one. The one where he just kind of ran vertical and then got a little upset, I think, on the sideline with the coolers and all that. But to watch him play in and play out and how he competes and expects the ball and wants the ball every down, I think it's amazing because, you know, you see a lot of really good wide receivers that don't run with the same kind of tempo that he does every play.
Well, again, I think it goes back to obviously the individual player. It goes back to the coaching. But, you know, again, you're talking about someone who's probably the most targeted receiver, you know, in the NFL for the last couple of years and well-deserved. You know, and I think that I always, you know, it's different for me. I mean, I know when I watch the games, you know, and all of a sudden people see someone running wide open and someone will say, well, God, how did he miss that guy? How did he go? You know, but a lot of times, and what we try to do is, yeah, if we see someone coming, yeah, you'd like to see the quarterback to get there. But a lot of times it's, you know, pre-snap reads, coverage, you know, what the progression is. Sometimes, you know, that person might not be in the progression with the coverage presenting itself, and someone may blow the coverage, but the quarterback's eyes have already left, and they're looking at the progression. So I tend to understand that a little bit more. Not that it's not as frustrating. I mean, I say the same thing, like, God, why can't we go over? Good, why, you know, well, he's not number one in the progression versus coverage. So, but I can understand that. I think that shows, like Jeff said, the competitiveness, you know, and wanting the ball and wanting to be that guy. On
Keenan used to be that way, by the way.
He won't say that. I don't know.
He didn't come out and say what Keyshawn said, but, I mean, Keenan wanted the ball every play.
Yeah, I think you know, good players want the ball every play. Linemen want the ball run behind them every play. You know, defensive backs want the ball thrown at them every play. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's the theme because when you have that attitude and the opportunity presents itself, I believe that you have a better chance to make the play.
Speaking of competitive, we'll come back and discuss the Steelers' defense and how you attack this group. Maybe get a little historical perspective on the Steelers, too, from Doug Marone. This is the Doug Marone Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Doug Marone Show continues right now.
J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, head coach Doug Marone. The Doug Marone Show continues. We flip it over and discuss the Steelers' defense.
Hey, before we can I ask Doug a question?
No,
Doug,
I know what he's doing. I just pointed it out.
Okay. Is there a dress code with, you know, Jaguars football staff that would, you know, preclude them from wearing outrageous socks?
It's very disappointing. Very disappointing.
Wow.
Oh. I mean, look at me. I mean, I'm not the fashion expert, you know what I'm saying? But I can't believe you're not branding the Jaguars. You got
that's my bad. The league, you know, to protect the shield, right? Yeah, but I don't know what kind of clown socks that Tad Dickman has on tonight.
PR director.
They're certainly clown socks. All right, let's get to
well, okay, well, that, now that we're past that.
I got distracted there. It was like a
neon. It was a distraction.
It was.
I was distracted.
Still distracted. When Doug told me to turn my head that way, all of a sudden it was like a neon sign.
Yeah.
Anyway, Doug,
it may not be the steel curtain.
No, it's not. And before we get to the current Steelers, because, you know, if you grew up in our era, because we're same age, the Pittsburgh Steelers, when we were growing up, were unbelievable.
Killers.
And had great player after great player. And then also you even go into the 90s when they won Super Bowls with Bill Cowher, et cetera. And I was always a big fan of one linebacker in particular. And in your opinion, who was the greatest Steelers linebacker of all time?
Ooh. It's easy. It's easy for me.
And?
Jack Lambert. I got a great story.
There it is.
Okay.
So when I was, I was like a junior in high school, and they used to have these offense-defense camps all over, and they used to have it at Fairleigh Dickerson College up north, and they were contact camps. So they would always bring in a bunch of pro players. Well, so I was obviously an offensive lineman. So John Hanna, who I had met later in my life, who was a great man, great individual.
Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer, mm-hmm. Great player. So he was down coaching us, the offensive linemen. And he was teaching us, you know, how to pull and the proper technique and things of that nature. And Jack Lambert was with the linebackers, kind of like on the other field, but, you know, close enough to in shouting distance. So Jack Lambert, I'll never forget this, he's showing the linebackers how to hit like a seven-man sled, like a forearm shiver. And I remember him screaming, "Hey, Hannah, hey, I'm showing these kids how I jack you up during the game." And I'll never forget John Hanna's like, now John Hanna was a very calm, you know, and he was getting red in the face. I'm like, oh, my gosh, these guys are going to do a little one-on-ones here right now. But he was an intense individual. And, you know, I'd met him, and but I think what you said, I mean, everyone remembers, you know, the teeth. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, the cold weather and things of that
chopping
nature when you're growing up.
Chopping his feet in the
linebacker. Yeah. So, I mean, and I think we all have stories like that. And you go back there, and, you know, it's a credit to your organization. I mean, you know, Chuck Knoll did an outstanding job there. And, you know, they stuck with him, you know, early on and turned it around. And, you know, Joe Green has a great, you know, story about him and how he played. And they just had a lot of great players and a lot of great games.
I love watching when the NFL Network does the stories, the hour-long specials on some of the great players and catching up where are they now. And one of the coolest things that ever happened when I was a young player in the league, you know, football cards were big in that era, mm-hmm. and I got to do what they called like a Legends card.
Right.
And it had your idol you in the front in color, and in the background in black and white was your idol, and I had a card with me and Jack Lambert.
That's awesome. I mean, that's great.
I was like, man, that's so cool. When I saw it, I'm like, you know, cool.
That is really cool.
Way cool.
There's no doubt. The names change sometimes on this defense, but as you said this week, the results stay the same a lot of times with the Steelers defense over the last few years.
Yeah, I think that's a true statement. I think anyone that's played against them, you know, the style that they play, even certain coverages that they have go back to, you know, way back when, and you can see that, and the results, you know, speak for themselves. I think that they've been very successful. They've done a good job, you know, an outstanding job, and you see that. I mean, going back to, you know, Woody Woodenhofer to obviously, you know, Coach LeBeau is in Tennessee now, and I think Keith Butler's doing an outstanding job there. And I think, you know, I have a little bit more insight, you know, a couple of years ago when I was the head coach in Buffalo, we went to St. Vincent and practiced against them for 2 days. So, you know, I saw the intensity, the work, you know, the work ethic and things of that nature. So, you know, there's a reason why, you know, they've been successful for a long time.
Well, one of the reasons, you know, the great linebackers in their history, we kind of talk about
linebackers all the time.
I mean, but I mean, it's, you know, I mean, that's kind of the foundation. I mean, and to truly understand it, just look at their draft picks. I mean, their draft picks, their first round picks are linebackers. I mean, three out of their four linebackers with their starting unit, they're first round draft picks.
I know, but I'm just going to mention this, and JP can probably get on us, but it's called a steel curtain. You know what I'm saying? That's what it was called in the beginning,
right,
by the guys that were up front.
Yeah.
You know?
That's
so,
right.
I mean, so,
second
so,
level
you know,
stuff
has
got to go.
I'll tell you what. The guy that gets missed on really all of it, and he's another Hall of Famer, is Donnie Shell. I mean, he was – you talk about, like, you know, now everyone always talks about big corners and big safeties and things of that nature, but the Steelers have always had, you know, big safeties, big hitters at safety, big corners. You know, the one thing about their defense that's always remained the same, you know, in their cover two principles is their corners have to play. They have to tackle. They have to be physical. You know, that's the one thing that throughout, you know, I think all this change in the game of football, you know, that's the one thing that, you know, they've never said, well, listen, we're going to get ourselves a cover corner. He doesn't need to tackle. You need to tackle, you know, if you play for the Steelers.
But the defensive line, Logs, geez, come on.
No, they're
give
good.
A little bit of credit.
No, hey, look, I'm a fan of linebackers, and I'm a fan of the defensive line. But look, in Pittsburgh, the linebackers make it work. I mean, that's what it is. Kevin
Green.
What
do you think about Andy Russell?
Greg Lloyd.
Do you like Andy Russell?
Who?
Andy Russell. Andy Russell was the one with Jack Lambert, wasn't he?
Yeah, who?
Oh, gosh.
I didn't know there was anybody playing alongside Jack Lambert. Oh. I mean, he was everything. I mean, Jack
Ham.
Yeah,
I mean, you're right. I mean, Greg Lloyd, they had Kevin Green. Yep. You know,
Gildon.
They
James
they,
Harrison, the guy that's still with the
still
football
there.
Team. I mean, holy cow.
How many years now for him?
He's 15-year.
Wow.
15-year, and he actually is the all-time career sacks leader for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
He's still putting out videos of workouts in the offseason.
All right, let's talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars, all right? I'm done talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers.
You got to attack this defense.
Yes.
You need some consistency on offense.
Yes.
It starts with a quarterback. It continues in the run game. You need to find, as we talked about earlier, trying to figure out something with A-Rob out, something consistent down the field. Big test this week. Where does it begin for you, at least on the offensive side there? The run game?
Well, I think, yeah, I just from a natural progression, you always start off, you know, most teams, I would say, you know, there's only one team in the league that I know doesn't game plan a little bit differently, but most of the teams will start off with the run game, you know, and then obviously it's your base package, you know, what you want to do in your base and, you know, your first and second down package and go on from there. And I think that, you know, we're going to have to do a good job of keeping ourselves, and we've done a good job. Where we have to really improve is that we've done a good job, you know, putting ourselves in manageable situations on third down, but not converting the. And I don't want to say it's easy because nothing's easy in the NFL, but we're, you know.
The manageable ones.
Yeah, I mean 7 to 10, we're above the league average and probably fourth in the NFL from 7 to 10. But you know, under that, we're below the league average, and that's something that, you know, we have to improve upon if we want to be a consistent football team.
About your quarterback, how do you get him to find consistency?
You need people to make plays around him. You know, I think, you know, you need the line to play well. You know, to give them the protection. You need people to make plays around them. We've got to put schematics together that can create good windows, and we got to, you know, not have a crystal ball for the defense, but, you know, place to go with the ball so you don't get, you know, you don't wind up holding on to it. And then, you know, you got to make plays. And when people are, you know, have the ability to make plays and, you know, they can catch the ball, it's run after the catch or vertically down the field to make those plays, I think those things all come into play. And then his job is to make sure he puts the ball in their hands.
Doug, good luck to you this week at Heinz Field in Pittsburgh. Always a fun place to play,
yeah,
and it's a tough place to play always.
Tough, so. But, you know, you listen to Styx, and they'll play Renegade, which it's fine. And
there's a lot of 80s rock there. A
lot of 80s, you know. And
the hairband stuff. Yeah, were you a hairband guy? Were you a 90s?
I'm a rock and roll guy.
Okay.
I'm well, you rock were, and roll.
Growing
and
up in the Bronx,
country.
The 90s with the hair and the makeup, you know, and the hair, you know, and all that.
So I'm excited. I'll tell you what, I'm excited to see where this team is. I'm excited to get up there and go
test.
Play. You know, and let's go take one.
Go take one from the Steelers.
Gotta take one.
Coach, good luck to you.
Great. Thank you.
Head coach Doug Marrone with us. More of the Doug Marrone Show after this on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Doug Marrone Show continues right now.
Game day is so much more enjoyable if you don't have to worry about finding a parking space. Ride the JTA Game Day Express and park in one of their 5 convenient lots. Tickets start at just $8. You can do that next week when the Jags return home to Everbank Field to face the Los Angeles Rams. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman. Head coach Doug Marrone is out of here. That third down
game
stuff.
Plan. Yeah, game plan.
That third down stuff is interesting. Well, it seems backwards.
Exactly. It is backwards. But if you look at the what he's talking about, when you get to 3rd and 7+, because you know the league has kind of a chart breakdown of third downs, and there's a league average of what teams convert on all the different third downs. So you got 3rd and 7+, and then they break it down into further categories. And the category that he's talking about is that 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3 range, somewhere in there. And that they're not at the league average. And if they get to the league average, you can certainly accomplish a lot more by converting those third downs, keeping drives alive. And where he talked about 3rd and 7+, they're better than the league average, which you wouldn't think that. You would think that it would be, you know, kind of the opposite. So it's an area that they've got to get better at. And here's the thing. You've got a very good running game, and you have a mobile quarterback. Typically, those 3rd and shorts, 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3 yards are makeable or manageable,
sure,
downs for a football team, and right now they're not winning enough of those, and they need to start winning them.
Is it a line thing? Is it a back issue?
Look at JP. It's in everything. It's, you know, look, the play calling can be better. The execution can be better. Running backs can be better. The quarterbacks can be better. You know, so when you're talking about that, you know, down and distance, it's a little bit of everybody. Now, if you wanted to talk specifically about 3rd and 7+, then we're going to talk a lot about the quarterback. You know, yes. Once we get past protection, the quarterbacks and then the wide receivers winning down the field. But third and one or third and two or third and 3 yards, that's a shared thing on that distance.
We wouldn't have asked Coach Marone this because he probably wouldn't have given an answer for play calling purposes. But in your opinion, the rotation of the running backs in those type of situations, Fournette gets you to that point to get third and two and then came off the field last week on a third and one, and Ivory comes in. That's what fans are talking about this week.
Well, they're talking about more than just the third and one. I mean, they're talking about the first and goal at the six and then throughout the course of the game, and I get it. I mean, look, Fournette is a high draft pick, and a lot of people think the world of him. He's been very effective. He's been the most dynamic playmaker that they have on offense so far this year. But Chris Ivory's been pretty good, too.
Pro bowler.
Here's the thing with Chris Ivory. He has actually, I think, been more effective in short yard situations than Leonard Fournette has. Mm-hmm. So
I think he's 2 for 3 on third and one situations.
Yeah, so I don't think that it's wrong to have a Chris Ivory in on third and short. Now, on a first and goal at the six, in a perfect world, you'd like to have Leonard Fournette in just because Fournette is more, you know, especially if you're going to throw the football. Because teams are thinking you're going to run the ball when Leonard Fournette is in the game. I think the percentages of pass versus run, when it's Fournette in the game, it's a much higher run probability. When it's Chris Ivory in the game, it's a much higher pass probability just because of kind of the plays that they've been getting. Mm-hmm. But, you know, look, that's something that as a coaching staff, you want to see them get better at and find a comfort level with how those guys rotate. Because, look, at the end of the year, you don't want, you know, you're in week 10, 11, 12, and Leonard Fournette has, you know, 350 touches. You know? I mean, he's got a significant amount of touches right now.
He's on pace, absolutely.
You know, so you got to manage it because, you know, you're trying to get guys through the, not the sprint, but the whole race, okay, the marathon of a 16-game season. So it's kind of a precarious balance, you know. To pick and choose, you know, the best times to have men and the best times not to have men.
We're going to come back and get into the defense. The big thing last week was the gash run plays with the Jets. There's going to be some of that. We'll get to that coming up. But there's some positives on defense too.
There is that,
especially in the pass rush.
But you got to get the run stopped.
We'll figure out how to do that when we return. It's the Doug Marone Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Doug Marone Show continues right now.
JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Coach Doug Marone out of here. The Jags and the Steelers coming up Sunday at Heinz Field. First trip to Heinz Field since 2011 for this Jags team.
Well, it's been a while, and I know a lot of people talk about Heinz Field being a tough place to play, and it can be. I think there are tougher places to play. As far as crowd noise.
Crowd noise.
Kansas City's a very loud place. Denver's a very
Seattle.
Loud place. Seattle's a very loud place. I wouldn't put Pittsburgh in the top five, you know, as far as crowd noise. I think that back in the day, they were unbelievably loud.
Back at the old place.
I don't say this to be disrespectful. Are they used to winning to where it's not as exciting anymore? You know, as a fan base, you know. Anyway, all I know is one thing is that it's a very difficult place to play in a tight game. Then they can get into it, and when it's loudest when their defense is playing well, and it's a very difficult environment when that's occurring for opposing quarterbacks. They do a great job of stressing protections. They're not an exotic man coverage team, and as Doug Marone talked about, they play a lot of zones. And so they're not bringing a ton of extra guys. But the hard part has always been with that defense is which four or which five guys are coming, and then they have the zone behind it. Because, you know, you can bring four, which is a typical situation, or you can bring an extra rusher and a five-man pressure and still play zone behind a five-man pressure, which a lot of teams do. But the hard part with that defense, and historically it's always been hard, especially when they had, you know, the great safety that they had, Troy Polamalu,
yeah.
Is who's going to be coming. Because they'll send safeties, corners, linebackers, defensive linemen, drop defensive linemen. And that's the one thing that has showed up on film, has always showed up on film with the Pittsburgh Steelers defense, because you have to get your protection right, and then you have to identify who you're supposed to block. And sometimes that's hard to do. And that's why it's hard on quarterbacks to play the Pittsburgh Steelers.
We will come back and get into the Jags defense. We promised it last time. We'll definitely do that when we return.
We're stringing them along.
We are.
We're stringing them along.
That's what we call a tease in the business.
Mega tease.
A mega tease.
Extended tease.
We're going to talk some
double
defense.
Double tease.
When we return, it's the Doug Marone Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Doug Marone Show continues right now.
Jeff Lagerman, Coach Doug Marone with us earlier tonight. Jaguars defense, Logs. You know, there's a lot of positive going on. Pass rush is warming up. They have the most sacks in the league right now. They're taking the ball away. They're high up on the list in the league in plus-minus and takeaways this season. But all of that might not matter much if they can't slow down the run game. And that was obviously the issue last week, and we've talked.
Dead last in the league, stopping the run.
That ain't good enough.
No, it's disappointing. Look, I mean, there's a lot of positive about this defense, and defense is a big reason as to why this football team has two wins and why this team, even though one of the reasons why they were out of the game for a while and then they were back in the game was because of the defense.
Absolutely it was.
So they kind of take the blame and the credit in one game, but they have to be more consistent against the run. And I'm not saying that they have to be the best in the league at the run. You know, and one of those was the one where he wasn't touched down. Bilal Powell goes over the top of Telvin Smith. He wasn't touched down. So it's kind of hard to say, okay, well, that play wasn't very good. The awareness on that play wasn't very good. Somebody's got to touch him down. And look, and if you think he was touched, don't think he was touched. No, he's touched.
Touch
go
him.
Over there and touch him.
Right.
But the other ones were, what was it, a 69-yard run?
And a 33-yarder.
So, I mean, look, people have asked me, whose fault? Okay, it's a gap defense. It's got to be somebody's fault. Well, yeah, we're actually watching the long run right here.
On Jaguars.com,
it's like
yes.
33 yards, I think that one was right there. That one, if you look up front, Sheldon Day plays to the quarterback instead of playing to the run. But it's not just his fault for a long run like that. You know, where are the linebackers? Where is the secondary? Okay, there's three levels of football. Part of the reason I think where they got in a problem, you had somebody that got out of a gap and they shared responsibility in that. It was like taking turns. Okay, Sheldon had one. Telvin had one, Miles Jack had one, Calais had one. Okay, but even if somebody is not in their gap, it doesn't mean that somebody else in the next gap or the next gap over can't play what I call above the X's and O's and play through their gap to make that tackle. And then once it gets through that front line, if somebody doesn't play above the X's and O's to make that tackle to make up for somebody who gets out of their gap, where's the next level? Where's the next level to make a tackle for 15 yards?
Yeah.
And line up and play football again. That's, I think, was the most disturbing part, is that you had these long runs. Where's the next level at?
Where's the safety net there to in case there's
got to be
hole.
Better.
Right.
Got to be better. I mean, there's four defensive backs, and they all have great speed, right? Okay, let's see somebody use that great speed to make a tackle. And nobody was loafing or anything, but they have to have more awareness. And I think part of what can get a defense in trouble in that scenario is when you're playing man coverage, your back's turned and you're not seeing it. Well, you got to kind of clue into some things and be a little quicker to react.
18 sacks for this defense, the most through four games in franchise history. It's a positive sign. They're coming from a lot of different guys, too.
Well, and I think that's the encouraging thing. Calais Campbell, I think, is doing a tremendous job at pushing the pocket. Todd Walsh is doing a good job of calling pressure packages at certain times. But the individuals that are winning the one-on-one, I think, is ultimately what comes down to having a good pass rush. Yannick Ngakoue got Kelvin Beachum about three times in that game. One of the other times that he did beat him, the ball was gone. Two of those times he got a sack. One of them was a caused fumble. Ngakoue is fun to watch. He's a tremendous football player. He's getting better, and he's getting better against the run, too. And he's becoming more of a complete player. And Dante Fowler, as we talked about with Duck, I mean, he made two plays in that game that were game-winning type of plays.
Sure, just recover the ball.
And he tried.
Yeah.
You know, that's something Yannick has got to learn, that when you get the sack and the ball's out, you know, stay on it. You know, stay in the play. And then, you know, celebrate after the whistle's blown. You know, you can kind of sometimes getting up celebrating the sack, which, you know, look, I get. I mean, because you just made a great play. Well, you can make a great play even greater, okay, by recovering a fumble. And that's part of the learning process with a young player. Love watching both of those guys play, and I'm really impressed with Dante starting to use that speed to get up the field and around the edge. So, and there's room to grow, JP.
Oh, yeah.
I think Malik Jackson can elevate his level of play.
He's been on the injury report, though, with a groin issue, limited Wednesday and Thursday.
He was on last week as well. Yep. You know, you want to see him start to get, you know, more recognizable plays that he makes. I think Avery can step it up another.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Doug Marrone Show continues right now.
Final moments of the Doug Marrone Show. For those on our flagship station, 1010XL in Jacksonville, Jaguars Thursday is next. Tony Boselli will join us from the Thursday night football game, the Patriots at the Buccaneers. A nice road trip for Tony.
Yeah.
Tonight. I went to ask you last segment. We were talking about Jaguars pass rushers and Ngakoue celebrating, and you always celebrate a sack as a defensive lineman. What was your sack dance?
I didn't have one. I can't dance.
You didn't have one?
No, I didn't
have
one.
You didn't do anything?
No.
Did you shake hands? Did you high five somebody?
Celebrate. Yeah, you celebrate with your teammates and, you know, flex. It was never anyone.
Did you flex?
Well, I tried to, but it probably didn't look like it.
Because you were always flexed.
Yeah, I was always
that's
flexed.
What it was.
Exactly. I walked around all tight.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. That's what it was. This week, Ben Roethlisberger leads the way. He's been around here since, 2004, around the NFL now. There were reports in the offseason that Roethlisberger was thinking of calling it quits, retiring, stepping out of the game. He's come back. His numbers are not quite what they were. The offense isn't quite ticking yet. Is he in or is he out?
Well, it's interesting you say that because, you know, Ben has always been a guy that, in my opinion, he kind of likes the attention, so to speak. You know, he kind of plays to the camera sometimes. So, and then it's a kind of a, you know, comparison look. He talks a lot about his injuries and all that kind of stuff. And I've always felt that he was a player that just wanted to continually have attention. And you know, so I thought this whole conversation about retiring was kind of more of that.
Okay.
Well, then I watched the film, and I'm watching a player who, you know, Ben Roethlisberger for years extend plays. He's a reckless player. He makes things happen. Yeah. I'm not seeing that. I'm not seeing the reckless Ben Roethlisberger, reckless but safe for the ball, you know, with the ball. I'm not seeing a player who's willing to hang his body out there to take a shot to make a play. I'm not seeing the player look to extend the play and put his body at risk to get a completion at 10 yards. I'm seeing a quarterback now who his eyes drop in the pocket, his feet get unsettled. Mm. And so I'm wondering if all that retirement talk isn't real. And, I hope that what I saw on film over the last two games continues so this week, because that would be good for the Jaguars. But I've always said this. As a player, at some point in your career, you always realize that you're immortal, okay, that you're not immortal.
I was about to say, yeah, flip that around.
Right. What?
Yeah, right.
That
you're not immortal.
You're amortal.
I thought you said immortal the first time.
A-mortal.
Yes.
Got
you.
Immortal.
Thank you.
Okay, because, you know, when you're young, you're bulletproof and you're tough and you're going to play forever. And, you know, and I see a player that's kind of hit that stage in his life, you know, and he's looking at self-preservation and making sure that he's going to be okay going out of the game. And look, everybody hits that. And in my opinion, he's not the same player. And when you start talking about the retirement stuff, you'll never be the same player that you were before.
The edge kind of goes away once you start thinking about it.
That's exactly right.
Let's continue that this week. How about it? The Jags and the Steelers coming up. Our thanks to head coach Doug Marone, Max Hockman on Jaguars.com, Joe Fortunato. For Jeff Loggeman, I'm JP Shadrick. Thanks for listening to the Doug Marone Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.